Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. Praise your holy name, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that this is going to be an awesome time with you. And Lord, I thank you that you're going to be leading us and guiding us tonight. And I praise you because when you lead us and guide us, Lord, we always have a great and wonderful time. And Lord, we just ask for your grace and your mercy upon us tonight. We ask, Father, for the Shekinah glory to come down upon all of us, even where we sit, Lord, and we thank you for that. Thank you, Lord, for an awesome, awesome time tonight. Glory to your name, Lord, for everything that you're doing in our lives, Lord, cleaning us up, getting us ready for this great and wonderful tribulation that's coming up. And, Lord, I know there's a lot of people that don't think that they're going through the tribulation. But when you've already been through the tribulation, tribulation is going to be an awesome time. And we praise you for that because we believe for you for everything, Lord, just like you said. And I praise you and glorify you, Father, that you're making every one of us faith-filled Christians that stand on the word and give out the gospel. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Anybody got a prayer request? Or a testimony? Yeah, Missy, go ahead.
I'm sorry, let Julie go first. I'll wait a little bit. I want to make sure I have all my ducks in a row.
Okay, that's good. That's a good thing to start with. Get your ducks in a row. All right. Go ahead, Shelly.
Hey, Lord, help me get my ducks in a row, too.
Amen.
Well, first, I just want to thank the Lord because he's awesome. And thank you, Lord, for answering prayers regarding these threats in our weather that are down here in the southwest part of the country in California. That we're not going to have the fires that they're saying that there's possibility for and a threat for. And these high winds aren't going to happen either in the name of Jesus. And they're saying this like through Friday morning or something like that. They keep changing it. But I thank you, Lord, you're sending rain out here. And I got the clouds out there today as a sign. I see clouds in the sky and just believe in, Lord, you're going to bring rain here for that. And I thank you. And Lord, thank you for leading me and guiding me here these last few days. So I have a testimony and prayer request. And God is awesome, and he does things when we don't really know why he's doing them. But so yesterday, the Lord just kind of put in my heart to go get, to walk up to this restaurant up here in my district mall area where I live. And I kind of had in my heart to get a cheeseburger up there. And so I went up there, placed my order, and was going to get it to go. And it was going to be a few minutes. So I went and did a little grocery shopping and came back and grabbed my burger. And what I thought was my burger, I didn't look at it before I left. But when I got home, it wasn't what I ordered. So I called them, and she was very apologetic and offered me a comp meal. And she goes, "You can come up now and I'll get one fresh ready to go. Or you just let me know when you're next time you come in, just give me, just use my name and I'll comp it for you when I'm here." And so anyhow, so, I was kind of like, well, Lord, this isn't what this is what I thought, you put it in my heart to go up there. But he just said, "No, but watch what I do." He just kept telling me that this lately. He says, "Just watch what I do for you." I'm like, okay, well, thanks. I got a free meal. I got, chicken tenders, which I wasn't planning on, but they were good. And I ate those, and then I got a comp meal. So anyhow, so today I felt like the Lord was leading me to go up there. And it's like, I could have cooked today, but I just felt like the Lord was saying, go up and get your comp burger. So I didn't call ahead, but I walked in and she recognized me immediately. And she went right to the window and put my order in. And I said, "You remember me?" And she said, "Oh yeah." And she's like, "I'm so sorry." I said, "Don't worry about it. Accidents happen." And then, so I'm sitting there waiting for her to bring me my food. And as I'm sitting there, the Lord was just impressing me. It's like, when she brings you your food, Get it to go. If she puts it, if because I didn't say I wanted it to go, but she just assumed I did apparently, but which is fine. So I'm sitting there waiting, and the Lord just said, "Ask her if she needs prayer when she comes by with your food." And I'm like, "Okay." And then she was getting my bag ready, and I could see from where I was sitting, and she asked me if I wanted ketchup. Well, the music was so loud. And I'm thinking I don't want ketchup, and I'm like, no, just I'm taking it to go, no ketchup. Well, she didn't hear me, or we just didn't understand, so she came over and asked me. So I told her no ketchup, and I said, do you need prayer for anything? And she just about like, her mouth dropped, and she was just really surprised by that. And just to make a long story short, she did need prayer, and she told me about it. And she was so apologetic, and after we got talking for a while, I said, I told her, I said that the Lord led me to come up here and get food yesterday, and I was kind of disappointed when I didn't get what I ordered, but now I understand why, and she's like, yeah, because I never make mistakes like that. And I'm like, I'm thinking, okay, sure. But she's like, no, I don't, I always check my order, and I should have. And I said, anyhow, it was all him that did that, because she did need prayer, and we sat and talked for at least 20 minutes. So she and her husband, they both need prayer. She's working a lot, and she's really not sure what to do about some things. She's working a lot of hours. He's not working. He needs a job. He is an engineer in manufacturing, she said, but he hasn't worked since April. So I told her that I was going to be in a meeting tonight, and we would lift her up for prayer. Her name is Jennifer, and his name is John. So, Heavenly Father, I just, with my brothers and sisters here, I just lift them both up to you. You know their issues. You know the things they are struggling with right now. We ask, Father, that you would lead John, and you would open up a door for him, that you would show him what your will is and what your where you want him working, what you want him doing. And I pray, Father, that you would just bring clarity there and the ability to take the job and just seek you for what you want. I also lift up Jennifer, Lord, that she was, wanting to ask for a raise, but just knowing the things she knows by how long she's been there and things, how things are, she didn't feel like she could ask that they would turn her down anyway. So, Lord, I lift her up, that you would show her great favor where she's at, and that the people who would take notice there, who are responsible for making those things kind of happen, Lord, that you would find favor with Jennifer there, that she would get a raise that she didn't ask for, and she'll know it was you. And I pray blessing upon them, Lord, and you're leading and you're guiding, and just, I'll just leave it at that for now, Lord. I lift them up, and I thank you for doing things for them, that they're not sure where they need to go about a lot of things. But Father, give clarity of mind there. And also, Lord, I thank you that she allowed me to pray for her today too, about a spirit of insomnia. So I believe you, Lord, that that's gone, and she's gonna have a full night's sleep tonight, which she hasn't had in a long, long, long time. And she's gonna know that your hand of grace is there, Lord, and you've answered that prayer and that need in Jesus' name. So thank you, Lord, for answering this prayer for John, and opening up a door, an opportunity for him for employment. And he's going to know it's you, and the other things that they're seeking you for answers, Lord, that you're going to make it clear for them in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Lord, for answering those prayers. We thank you, Father, that the job that you've already got lined out for him, Lord, is going to be one to where Jennifer won't have to work, that he'll be the main provider. And she, do they have kids?
Yeah, but I believe that I got the impression they're grown kids, but
Okay.
that was her concern too, and that was what his desire was too, Michael. So that's definitely that he wanted a job where he would have enough, make enough money that she wouldn't have to work so much, but even that she could
Amen.
be at home and do other things. And yeah,
Amen.
thank you, Lord, for answering that.
Thank you, Father, for answering their prayers. And we praise you, Father, that it's going to be in such a way that they'll know it's you, Lord, and that you would get the glory. And we praise you for it, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Thank you, Lord. right. Anybody else? Yeah, Teresa. Missy, I'll get you in just a second. Since you.
Can we pray against the fog that's rolling into, you know, it's rolling into different countries, but it's also rolling into the United States, and it's got deadly ingredients in it. Animals have been getting sick and dying, and people have been getting sick from just walking in it. And, you know, and animals eating the snow, and animals drinking, you know, their water dishes being outside, and substances getting into their water, and then they soon die after that. And, you know, and, you know, I heard a testimony from a trucker that, you know, he's been trucking since the 1970s. And, you know, and he transports, dog food and animal feed, you know, from coast to coast. And, you know, retail stores or whoever he trucks to have been, you know, canceling their orders because they're not having enough customers to buy. And so because livestock's been dying, animals have been dying, people's pets have been dying. And, I heard a lot of testimonies from that where people and their pets had been in the fog and the pets had died soon after. And so, and the people had gotten sick, had reactions as well. So can we pray against, you know, they're trying to kill people with that fog. Can we pray? You know, I don't know. Okay.
Yeah, we've already prayed, but we can do it again. We'll get y'all to agree with us. In the name of Jesus right now, Lord, we thank you that this fog is neutralized. We thank you, Father, for sending your angels over there. And we send the angels over there right now to wherever it is to eliminate it and neutralize it in Jesus' name. And, Lord, we thank you for exposing whoever's doing it and shutting them down, Lord. We thank you, Father, that your angels right there go out there and find wherever they're making this stuff and shut them down. And we praise you, Father, that it is being done even as we speak right now. And I thank you, Lord, that the fog is not going to go one more half a mile from where it is right now, that it's going to be neutralized in Jesus' name. I declare and decree that by the blood of Jesus that it's done. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Y'all believe that? Y'all want to believe that with me? That it's done?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you, Father, that you're going to get the glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Missy, go ahead.
Well, y'all know, most of you know, I put in the signal chat about that we had our sewer drain or whatever in our basement was overflowing or whatever and coming up in the basement. So we had a guy come Friday and, he couldn't get it open. He said that he believed there was corrosion there, that when you go down in and turn right, there's corrosion there because it's a cast iron plate. Couldn't get through. And so he was nominal Christian, I guess you could say. I don't know if he was born again or not, but you know, we talked a little bit and so I gave him a God's vaccine little pamphlet thing and also a Psalm 91 soldier's card or whatever, and so then he says well, he can't get through, but there's a guy he used to work with. His name is JT. He says he's an older guy. He's 70 years old is what he told us when he came. He actually looks older than that. Anyway, he looks older than Merle, my husband, which is 74. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. But anyway, so he was kind of a little Spitfire. He was funny. I had some fun with him. He had fun with us. And he got through because he had a smaller snake and he got through. And I actually, you know, I asked him if there was anything I could pray for him about. And I forget what he said. He didn't really like give me a straight answer. It was something kind of funny or whatever. And I forget, he might have said something about some funny request or whatever. And I think I said to him, well, that won't save you. I said, and one thing he was saying about, for some reason he brought up about going to karaoke or whatever. And I said, well, what do you like to sing? And he was naming some different things, basically countries, you know, and I said, can I sing you a song? And he said, yeah, but I started to sing Alabaster Box. And when I said, the room grew still as she made her way to Jesus, and goes like this, like when I said Jesus, you know, anyway, and I just like lost my wording because he was doing stuff and Merle was saying something. So, but anyway, so I gave him a tract and, you know, same thing I gave the other guy. The other guy's name is Bob. And, but you know, I just kept praying. And anyway, and in the middle between the two guys coming, the Lord reminded me, that I had, cursed, kind of cursed the house. I said something about our house is dilapidated, you know, my, not like falling apart, but just has things that needs to be, worked on, you know, maintained or whatever, lots of things that need to be done. Anyway, so I repented of that. So then I just knew this guy was going to get through. I knew he was going to be able to get through, you know. And he did, because he had a much smaller snake. And, you know, and he told us that the guy, the other guy, what he used, they're not allowed to use because it comes in 8-foot sections and you connect them. And if you get more than an 8-foot section down there, you have to, if you hook two of them or more together and you get real far, they can come disconnected. And it's like, how are you going to get it out then? You know? And I'm like, well, that's crazy. But anyway, so, so it was just, it's been a while now and I'm thinking there's probably things I'm forgetting, but it was really neat. I was just like praising and thanking the Lord, you know, not like real loud or whatever. It's just like I said to Merle, you know, I said, he's going to get through, you know, and I was just in the midst of the two different times, I was just praying in the spirit and stuff like that and praying and I knew he was going to get through. So I just thanked the Lord. And then Saturday, Merle goes to go down the garage and he flips the light switch. No light comes on. Well, then, you know, we didn't do anything about it. He comes home Sunday and I said, well, we're going to check and, you know, put some new bulbs in there or whatever, you know. And it was kind of funny because it was a fluorescent light and it has two long, skinny ones. And they didn't come on. We put new ones in and we checked them to make sure that they worked in another one. Wasn't that? So I thought, well, maybe it's the light fixture. So we had this other fluorescent light that goes down the stairwell on the ceiling on the stairwell that hadn't been working for years. The bulb went out and I said, well, why don't we just go rather than worry about fixing that other one? Why don't we just go and get a new bulb for that one? We brought that home. That doesn't work. So there's something and we tried to open up the one light switch top of the steps. You couldn't even get the thing, the whole electrical switch out. You couldn't unscrew the screws. The wires wouldn't come out. Because I thought, well, you know, rather than call somebody, why don't we just try, you know, doing this, put a new switch in. Well, we can. So we just stuffed the thing back in. And like I said to Merle, I said, well, I'm just going to believe the Lord's going to fix it. It's fixed. Thank you, Lord, for fixing it. Well, it's fixed. But I haven't seen it yet with my eyes. So do y'all believe with me in the name of Jesus? There's, you know, and I was just thinking, okay, this is a trial. This is a test. And I was like, I'm like casting down witchcraft too. And I'm like, this isn't my fault. I'm not going to receive any condemnation over this. This is not my fault that this light switch is not working. We even checked the breaker. Well, the breaker didn't even make sense after I thought about it, because that wasn't the only thing that was connected to the breaker. Other things were connected that were lit up. So just thank you, Lord, I just bind up the enemy that's doing this, you know, and because there's a light switch to top and there's a light switch to bottom. Neither one is working. And it should turn both those fluorescent lights on. And I'm like, this is screwy. And so it's just the enemy and he's defeated. And our electricity is working there between those lights. And when both of them are going to come on and we're going to have more light than we had for years because we're going to have the one in the stairwell because we have a new bulb in it. I just keep imagining now and then, you know, electricity going up through the wires. Once through the wall, I can't see that, but I can see the wire coming from the one light fixture over to the other. Anyway, feeding it with electricity. So I just imagine the electricity going through. Thank you, Lord, it's fixed. You fixed it. I even sent my angel to fix it. So
amen. Peace.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you. Thank you, Lord, both of them. But the angels are now fixing both of those lights. They hit the right switch. It's going to come on. And it's all going to work until they move. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. It's fixed.
Amen. Okay. Anyone else? I've got a quick testimony. Night before last, our heat pump went out. Sounded like it threw a piston. With all the rattling and noise that it made, David said, I couldn't hear it. I was sleeping. Anyway, we've got 30-something degree weather here, which is cold for us. And David came up here and he told me that morning, he said, we're going to send the angels to fix that. So we did. We sent the angels to fix it. And I could tell you, I'm not going to tell you the whole story. I'm just going to tell you the good part. Well, the real good parts I'm going to leave out. But anyway, they fixed it by the time we got back from the fellowship last night. And the house was warm, and this thing was so quiet. It was so quiet. The angels fixed it. It was so quiet. When we left, it had rattled out. It had thrown something out. I don't know. It was just a mess. And by the time we got back, the angels had it fixed and worked great. Worked great all day today. And when I get the okay, I'll tell you the rest of the story. Go ahead, Pat.
What was it that was bad, that went bad?
The heat pump, the heater.
Oh.
Air conditioning unit, which is a heat pump, which okay. I care not. I don't like heat pumps. But anyway.
It works. Praise the Lord.
It works great. It works so great. It works so great that one of these days I'll tell you how great it works.
Um, I had stopped. One of the owners or partners or whatever of the company I work with, his name is Vince, and he was diagnosed. I think I mentioned something about this maybe on the beginning of the previous meetings, but he was diagnosed with a rare form of leukemia. And today he sent out an email basically saying, you know, he just wanted to give everybody an update that he was within a week, he was going to start working from home and start taking certain treatments. I read, you know, there's, it could be bone marrow, you know, plant or implants or whatever the thing is. But first is going to be rounds of chemotherapy, I believe. And the result of that it kills the immune system so that he can't be around, you know, people. He's got to have masks and everything. So today I stopped into the office because I had to, you know, pick up some materials, before I, went to Princeton so he sent out an email and then there was, three or four, responses back for, it was a blanket email to the whole company. And there was responses back from various people basically saying, you know, we're, 100% support your effort. We're behind you 100% and our prayers and thoughts are with you, et cetera. Anyway, I stopped into his office, and I basically just said, listen, Vince, I'm praying for you as well, but I'm believing that you're healed through this thing. My prayer is for a total healing for you. And so he, you know, thanked me or whatever. And I did, and we're kind of in an office environment there, and I didn't feel like I really had the, you know, the freedom to pursue it anymore. But, number one, I want to, pray for him tonight. And also, I'd like an opportunity to maybe talk with him in person again and be more specific related to prayer and actually pray for him at that time. Because once he leaves the office, he's probably not going to be back, you know, for a long period of time, be working from home and again, working under masks and, you know, that sort of thing. So he won't be taking visitors, et cetera. So anyway, I just want to ask you to join with me in prayer for Vince. And Father, we thank you that you have provided healing for us. We thank you that you've given us the authority to bind these diseases and cast them down. In the name of Jesus, I bind that spirit of leukemia in Vince right now. I bind it. I cast it out. I command it to leave him right now in the name of Jesus. And I speak forth healing, command healing in his life to restore each and every cell in his bloodstream, and provide a balance into his life, into his bloodstream, and provide the full and complete healing for him in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, that by your stripes we were healed and that we have been given authority to pray, to cast out demons and to pray for the sick and to heal the sick. And so, Lord, I pray for Vince tonight, and I thank you for the healing. I praise you for the work that you're doing in us as a group, in me. And I thank you for the release and deliverance that you're bringing in Vince's life as a result of this healing, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. We're going to be looking for the testimony. We praise you for it, Father. We command that bone marrow to produce blood cells that'll go out there and destroy leukemia right now in Jesus' name, in Vince. And we praise you for it, Father. Thank you, Lord, that he is completely healed because your word says it. And that's the truth. The truth always wins out. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. We're going to hear the new testimony, the great, wonderful testimony from Vince. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Nick, what's up, bud?
We got a prayer request.
Okay.
My neighbor, she had back pain yesterday, and she couldn't get out of her chair, so she went to the doctor, and they gave her a shot. And we're just praying for her to get better and be healed.
Okay. Well, Lord, we do. We lift her up. What's her name?
Dolores.
Dolores. Lord, we lift up Dolores to you. We command that back to light up with the word of God. And we praise you, Father, that she can get up, get out, get in, and get back up, too, in Jesus' name. From this point on, her back is completely healed. We command every joint in her back to be healed, in Jesus' name. We command all the pain to go. We command nothing but complete healing. So, Dolores, you be healed and whole and made whole, in Jesus' name. We bind up and cast out every spirit of infirmity coming against her right now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead, Julie.
Amen.
Okay. Yes, Lord, we thank you that Dolores is healed. Amen.
Okay, I have another testimony. On the 29th, I guess it was the 29th. Somewhere around there. I had a short little vision of, wasn't very big in the, in my vision was small of it, but it was like this, but of course for what it is, it was big. I had a vision of this little, of a virus, you know, what a virus looks like, you know, images of viruses, what they show, and it was red. And, so I went online and just kind of looked on to see, you know, virus and just look at images. And it was just the, like one of the first ones I pulled up was this red virus thing. So I was praying about that and just felt like, I wonder if this had anything to do with what, you know, when number one, the fog, it was a sign for that. And then I was praying against all that. And also what I think, you know, Brandon on Last Days was sharing about, you know, the viruses and stuff. Talking about those things, coming back and praying against all that. So I was praying about that, and I shared that with David and Michael. And but then I didn't think about it being attacking me. Well, the last, I don't know, 3-4 days, I have been under attack with my body, with just different things attacking my sinuses. I had body aches. I had other symptoms of, like, sickness and disease, and I just kept fighting against it and commanding it to leave my body, and it wasn't going to affect me, and standing in faith for it. I still had to endure some trial of you know, what I was feeling. And but by the grace of God, it was pretty much all cleared up yesterday. That was the last of it. But then I was thinking later, it's like, I wonder if that little virus thing, the image was, you know, that vision I had was a sign for me that, you know, to be careful and pray against it for me, because I did get attacked with, you know, some kind of virus in my body. And it just, so thank you, Lord. I'm healed. And the devil has no right to our bodies, because we're redeemed by the blood of Lamb. And we have authority over these things. And we don't have to receive sickness or diseases or any kind of thing in our body. So thank you, Lord, for healing us and protecting us all and giving us this, your word and the armor of God, and teaching us how to use it. Taking the authority we have over the curse and putting, you know, bringing the kingdom of heaven down here and just annihilating Satan and his kingdom. And he has no authority. And I thank you, Lord, we win. We already have the victory. Praise God. Our God is bigger. Amen.
Amen. Yes, he is. We thank you, Father, that she is completely healed of this. And Lord, we just, we speak and declare and decree divine healing on it. Anything that comes against her or anybody else in this fellowship runs into a brick wall in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Father, that we all walk in divine health, because the blood of Jesus covers us and Psalm 91 protects us in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, Missy, go ahead.
Well, this Saturday, we're supposed to go to my family, and Alex is coming with us. It's our family, my mom and dad. What they've been doing the past several years is just taking everybody out to dinner. It's like our Christmas get-together, although we don't exchange gifts or whatever, but my mom and dad pay for a meal for all of us, and, you know, we go back to the cottage that's next to them and play games and eat desserts and stuff like that. And this is the first time Alex has gone and with us in over a year. So he hasn't seen the rest of the family in over a year. But the weather's iffy, as Michael knows and I know, and some others of us that live here on the East Coast. There's a storm coming. They don't know for sure if it's going to go straight across or become a nor'easter or whatever. So we're gonna get a hotel room, and I don't feel to book a room until like maybe Thursday, because I figure by Thursday we're gonna know for sure. And Lord, you know, I'm not set on this, how to pray about it. And it's like, Lord, if we're to go, you're going to make the weather good. You know, we're not going to be traveling in a bunch of snow or get held up and not be able to leave Sunday. So, and Alex, he said he's not going to come if it's snowing, because he does not like driving in snow. He's not going to drive from the city out here. And my thought is, you know, we'll let him know. I mean, if it looks like it's going to be okay to just come Friday night and spend the night here, so he doesn't have to be even thinking about driving in any snow to come here. But I don't know. So, Lord, I just thank you, Lord, for us not getting any snow that we're not supposed to get. Lord, whatever your will is in this, I kind of have no opinion about it per se, Lord. And I just, more than anything, I just pray for your mercy upon, once again, the people in North Carolina with this storm coming in, Western North Carolina, where they were hit by Hurricane Helene. And I just ask you for your mercy upon them, Lord, and that everybody have the shelter and the warmth and the heat and everything that they need, and the food and all that stuff, Lord, and just pray for all your elect in this, Lord, that if this is weather manipulation, you know, we just cast it down in Jesus' name. And I just praise you and I thank you, Lord, for your mercy and your grace in this, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Are you through?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
Go, Michael.
Okay. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yep, Lord, we thank you. They're going to have a great time up there in Jesus' name. Eat lots of food and tell all kinds of tall tales. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, anyone else? Y'all want to hear a good song? I do too. All right, Joe, go ahead. I'll let you go before I start singing here.
It will be a testimony, but it's well, you will hear it now. I got an old hi-fi from long time ago. It's been quite a while since I played it, so I doesn't listen to music or anything. I just listen to teachings and Bible and so on. So I decided to this week to connect it all again and try to work it. And it starts everything, the Wi-Fi working, but the turntable doesn't want to work. So I thought myself, I turn it a bit with my finger, it doesn't want to work. So I command it says, you're healed in Jesus' name. And it still doesn't work. So I took it out and I just take the top off and just wiggle a bit there and see if I can see anything. It says, no, I can't see anything. And I think, okay, yeah, but the Lord said, it's healed. So I just keep on. I put it just on itself, on electricity. When it starts turning, but very, very, very slowly. So I said, that's a good point, Lord. That's it. And I'm just standing on that. That's a good point. And it was quite a while. It's turning when all of a sudden it goes a bit quicker and when it starts working. So I said, thank you, Lord. Forgive me. That's so exciting. That's giving me a victory about this. So I put it on. I play the LP. It's a very old LP of, one of them is called Fisher Folk. I don't know. I'm sure you know all about Fisher Folk. So I was excited about all this and that's fine. But, Just, I stopped it and I just thanked the Lord. And I get too excited. I get in a flesh. That's the bad point. Lord gave me the victory when I get into a place and I says, oh, that's no good. That's no pretty good, Joe. You're getting into a flesh now just after you have a victory. And the Lord says, don't get into a flesh. Just appreciate and thank me for it. So I got a good confession and I got a bad confession.
Yeah.
I listened to some good songs on the Fisher Folk. Do you know the Fisher Folk, Michael?
Who?
It's a very old Fisher Folk. It's FISHERFOLK.
No, I don't guess I know that one. Is it a her or he?
No, it's a group.
Oh yeah, I figured that.
Can you write it in the chat, Joe?
He did. Yeah. He did. In the chat.
Come on, Pat. Keep up. Oh, Fisher Folk. I thought you were saying something else. Oh, my gracious. Okay.
Sorry, Fisher Folk. Was my Afrikaans. Sorry about that, Michael.
That's okay. Your Afrikaans is normal to you. It's just foreign language to me. Okay, Fisher Folk. I don't know if I've ever heard of them, but I have. Are they good?
This one from the 1980s, Michael. You should know that. Oh, well, probably know that.
Yeah, I have to look them up.
Age-wise.
Yeah. Well, it's always, I didn't
it's
say.
Very, very good Christian. It's basic.
Okay.
It's very good. It's very good Bibles. Just Bible, short verses of Bibles by singing. So that's very good.
Okay.
Directly from the Bible now.
Yeah.
Thank you. Okay, that was my confession. It's a victory and then I have a little bit of disappointment. Thank you. Thank you, Father, for teaching me. Thank you.
I've got a bunch of albums back at Arkansas that are 33 and a third long playing LP records that came from, actually came from the 60s and the 50s. And big band stuff that my mother had. And I got one of my, I got to tooling with one of my turntables back home, and I got that thing to working. And, but the needle was all messed up and I couldn't listen to it. But anyway, it's a lot of fun when you finally get one of them going and you can listen to those old records. I guess. Anyway, that's a lot of fun. Praise the Lord and pass the ammunition. Praise the Lord and pass the ammunition. That's an old World War II song. It's a Christian song. So called. Yeah. It was very popular back in the 40s. Oh my.
Sounds like a God and Country song.
No, it was big band. It was big band stuff. Yeah. Okay. Y'all ready for a good song? Let me get my band tuned up here.
When giants come calling my name, my God is so much bigger than troubles I face. Why would I hunger for power, riches, or fame? So much better than all of these things. So I won't be shaken. I won't be moved. My God is faithful. His promise is true. So God is bigger, better, stronger, greater than me. My enemies scatter, 'cause they know the battle is done. My God is stronger, the victory's already won. For my ransom and rose up on the third day. Oh, 'cause my God is greater than death, hell and the grave. Oh, I won't be shaken. Oh, I
What an awesome song, man. How many of you ready to move a mountain now? Glory to God. Yes, Lord. If you got a mountain, you can move it because God's going to do it for you. Praise God. Okay, Missy, number 14. Go ahead.
I wanted to do something that I forgot to do when I was talking about our whole drainage thing. I want to pray for these two guys, Bob and JT. Father, I just praise you and thank you for the opportunity to them, to you about the Lord, and especially JT, Lord, that you just ring in his ears over and over, Lord, that I told him that Jesus loves him and he died. You died for him so that he doesn't have to die for his sins. And that I just ask you to grant them both repentance and belief in you unto salvation, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for doing that, that they both took home what I gave them and they really read it, Lord. And you really spoke to their hearts, Lord. And I just praise you and I thank you, Lord, for saving them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I believe it. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Okay, we can do that. If you'll get it up. Yeah. I got, while you're doing that, I'm going to share a little bit of something, if that's all right with everybody, and then we're going to listen to another song. Let's see. Just a minute. I'm trying to do four or five things at one time. And it's working. I want to tell you about this. I think I've told it to you before, but you may have forgotten. It bears repeating. This is something that I got offline. Building blocks of life or death. Your words are building blocks of which you construct your life and future. Your words set the cornerstones of your life. And you live within the confines of that boundary you create with your own words. Situations, circumstances, and conditions are all subject to change. But with the support of your words, you can establish them in your life forever. Now, the following article entitled Patient Knows Best appeared in the August 1991 issue of the Reader's Digest. A person's answer to the question, is your health excellent, good, fair, or poor, is a remarkable predictor of who will live or die over the next 4 years, according to new findings. A study of more than 2,800 men and women, 65 and older, found that those who rate their health poor are 4 to 5 times more likely to die in the next 4 years than those who rate their health excellent. This was the case even if examinations show the respondents to be in comparable health. Imagine that. These findings are supported by a review of 5 other large studies totaling 23,000 people, which reached similar conclusions, according to Ellen Adler, a socialist at Rutgers University and epidemiologist Stanislav Castle of Yale University School of Medicine, co-authors of the new study. People that have an image of themselves being in poor health will talk about poor health. Even though they may be in good health, they seem to live out the reality of the image they have of themselves, even unto death. And this would confirm Proverbs 18 and 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So what you believe and speak not only affects your body, but your immune system as well. Your words become either a blessing or they become a curse to you. Jesus put it this way, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasures of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh, Luke 6 and 45. And I just wanted to relate that and to just kind of pound it in our heads that what we say affects everything around you. Everything around you. If you speak negative, you're speaking against yourself. If you speak what the Word of God says about you, you'll be speaking health and divine health on yourself. Has anybody got any questions about that? Because that's what the Word of God says. What you confess with your mouth is what you're going to get. And that's for all. So that tells me, and it has for many years, that you always speak the truth. Do you know what the truth is? What the Word of God says about you. That's the truth. There's two things. There's facts and there's truth. We went over this here just a few weeks ago. Which one is the truth? Well, the truth is. The truth is what? The Word of God. Facts is what you see with your eyes, hear with your ears, feel with your hands, or feel with your body. That's just, but truth can overcome facts, can change facts. Truth can do that. That's quantum physics or quantum faith as well. Same thing. Okay, we ready? Okay, you got it. You got it. You got the deal.
I see his eyes. dying, when hope within me dies, I draw the closer to him. From care he sets me free. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. And I sing because I'm happy, and I sing because I'm free. For his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he's watching me. And I sing because I'm free, for his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me.
Amen. I like that song. I like that group too. They're a good family group. Amen. All right. Anybody got anything they want to comment on? Hey, Jesse. No, it's not. In Jesus' name. My internet connection is just fine. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. All right. Oh, she put that in. Okay, good. Thanks, Pat. Okay, then I do have a little bit of something here. If I can find it here right quick. Doo-doo-doo. Y'all remember George Mueller. I like old George. He actually was a mentor to many pastors. Pastor Lake learned from him. John Lake learned from him, as did many others. And he wrote a little book called How to Ascertain the Will of God. How to Ascertain the Will of God. And it's a very interesting little book. And he has, I believe, 6 points that he makes on how to ascertain the will of God. He says this. This is by George Mueller, who was born in 1805 and died in 1898. He was 93 years old when he died. He says, number one, I seek at the beginning to get my head into such a state that it has no will of its own in regard to a given matter. Let me repeat that. I seek at the beginning to get my heart, I said ahead, get my heart into such a state that it has no will of its own in regard to a given matter. 9/10 of the trouble with people is just here. 9/10 of the difficulties are overcome when our hearts are ready to do the Lord's will, whatever it may be. When one is truly in this state, it is usually but a little way to the knowledge of what his will is. Number two, having done this, I do not leave the result to feeling or simple impression. If so, I make myself liable to great delusions. I'm going to read that one again. I do not leave the result to feeling or simple impressions. If so, I make myself liable to a great delusion. Number three, I seek the will of the Spirit of God through or in connection with the Word of God. The Spirit and the Word must be combined. If I look to the Spirit alone without the Word, I lay myself open to great delusions also. If the Holy Ghost guides us at all, He will do it according to the Scriptures and never contrary to them. Number four. Next, I take into account providential circumstances. These often plainly indicate God's will in connection with His Word and Spirit. I take into account providential circumstances. And these often plainly indicate God's will in connection with His Word and Spirit. Number five, I ask God in prayer to reveal His will to me again. I ask God in prayer to reveal His will to me aright. That means keep Him in line, keep Him in the right standing. Number six, thus through prayer to God, the study of the Word and reflection, I come to a deliberate judgment according to the best of my ability and knowledge. And if my mind is thus at peace and continues so after two or three more petitions, I proceed accordingly. In trivial matters and in transactions involving most important issues, I have found this method always effective. Always effective, he says. Okay, has anybody got any questions or any comments on what we just read here? What George always did, he always did it in this fashion. Yeah, Julie.
Would you please read those again? Because that was really good.
Yeah, I will. And remember this, he used these particular ones on every type of prayer. It mattered to him no matter how big or how small. Number one, I seek at the beginning to get my heart into such a state that it has no will of its own in regard to a given matter. 9/10 of the trouble with people is just here. 9/10 of the difficulties are overcome when our hearts are ready to do the Lord's will, whatever it may be. When one is truly in this state, it is usually but a little way to the knowledge of what His will is. Number two, having done this, I do not leave the result to feeling or simple impression. If so, I make myself liable to great delusions. You've got to be sure it's God's will. Number three, I seek the will of the Spirit of God through or in connection with the Word of God. The Spirit and the Word must be combined. If I look to the Spirit alone without the Word, I lay myself open to great delusions. If the Holy Ghost guides us at all, He will do it according to the Scriptures and never contrary to them. Number four. Next, I take into account providential circumstances. These often plainly indicate God's will in connection with His Word and Spirit. Number five, I ask God in prayer to reveal His will to me aright. He wants everything to be correct. That's an old English term, a right, A-R-I-G-H-T. Number six, thus through prayer to God, the study of the word and reflection, I come to a deliberate judgment according to the best of my ability and knowledge. And if my mind is thus at peace and continues so after two or three more petitions, I proceed accordingly. In trivial matters and in transactions involving most important issues, and I found this method always effective. So he goes to the Lord in this way, on small stuff and big stuff too. And he was always very successful in his praying to build that large, I forget how many, I think it's like 2,100 kids at one time, maybe more, I don't remember. But he did say this now. He said this later on in some of his writings. He said, it wasn't always that I got the money right away. He said, you had to stay in faith, stay in faith, stay in faith, just like we have to do. When things don't seemingly come at the time that we think they are, what does he say to do? He says, stand. Persevere in your faith. That's what Mueller did. He didn't make anything. Well, we don't have any rolls in the cupboard to feed the kids with. Well, let's pray. And they'd pray, and the baker would come over and bring rolls for that day. Whatever. And that's the way we have to be, just like this. Faith is standing. We talked about it last week, what faith is. Perseverance into the Word of God. What Jesus said about us is what we stand on, regardless of the situations around us. We speak to the mountains and we believe that they're going to move. I could sing that song for you if you want me to. I don't know. I just... All right, anybody got any comments on these, how to ascertain the will of God? Everybody got it? Essentially, it's what he's saying. It's just what I just got through saying. It's just stand. When you standing in faith, you just stand. But when you pray, don't veer from it. Well, God hadn't done it yet. Well, how do you know he's not doing it? Yeah, how do you know? People, you know, when we pray for people that to be healed, I'm praying for a lady now that never has stood in faith for anything. But they say they have, and what you do is you keep teaching, you keep teaching, you keep teaching, and you got to stand and you got to start speaking and confessing the word of God over yourself. Speak who you are. Don't speak what you see. Don't speak what you feel like. Speak what you see. I mean, what the word of God says. And the word of God says, by his stripes you were healed. So you've already been healed, and you've got to start confessing that. And God will do his job. You have to do your job. Well, that's works. No, it's not. It's believing what the word says. It's trusting God. That's all it is. Somebody asks you how you doing. So, bless God, I'm healed. Well, you don't look like you're healed. I don't care what you see. What you're looking at, I'm healed. That's what the word of God says. Now, you believe what the word of God says, you believe what I look like. That's the kind of dogged determination that we have to have if we're seeking healing or money, or whatever the situation is, you have to stand on what the Word of God says. If you veer from what the Word of God says one little bit, you have to pick up and go again. Pick up and go again. Yeah, Andrew.
I'm just saying this as a comment. What if God didn't do it that way?
That's a good question.
Genesis chapter 1. We wouldn't be here.
That's right.
So, he's got a plan. So he guards the deposit of his word, and we have to guard the deposit of what he deposited in us. So guard the deposit. You have a shield. I don't know. You ever watch those sword fights in the movies? They sometimes use their shield. Get out of here. Knock them with that shield, and don't forget your sword. Because the faith is the word, too. So, you know, standing and fighting is also needed, too, sometimes. Fight the good fight of the faith. Lay hold of that eternal life. You got to guard your deposit. Come on, guys. He gave you all the armor. And I think it was one study we did, you know. He gives you an entire suit of armor. He takes all the armor away from the enemy. And you don't know how to poke him? You poke him with that word of God that Father told you. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And Jesus' name is the word of God. So, praise God. You know, Revelation 19:13 says he was clothed in a vesture dipped in blood. But we learned from there also that his name is called the word of God. And we abide in him. So, there's hallowed be thy name, and the name called the word of God. And what's in your tabernacle anyway? You're a moving temple, so praise God. And he puts a helmet on you too, so. Anyway.
That's a good analogy right there, what faith is. What it would happen if the Lord had said, let there be light. He didn't have to get up the next day and say, let there be light again, did he? He said it one time, he believed it, and it was still going. Light is still going in the universe out there.
He doesn't have to rewire stuff either, like you do in the walls, like let there be.
That's right.
Jesus ain't up there with the 2x4s building your house in heaven. It's already done.
It's already done. Amen.
It says so in John 19:30. He's not asking, hey, Joseph, can you cut the next one a little taller there for 8 feet, 1 inch? Because I got a little problem. No problems there. You don't have to drill the holes for the wire for getting light either. Because it shines from the Father. Praise God. And as for, forget it. Talk about the water in heaven. If you want to listen to about the water in heaven, just go to listen to Odin Hedrick and all his dreams there. Praise God.
Amen. Okay, Pat, go ahead.
Andrew, what did Odin say about it?
Well, he said he was in his house once and he heard music. And he looked over to where the music was coming from, and it was like one of those wind-up things you get, and it plays the music, and it goes along, and it goes to ding, 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 ding. But it's music going over these gems, like a waterfall, like a water chime, he said. Water chime, well, of course, you need sound, you need music, you know. You need the piping, as it says in that verse there. So, you know, the piper is the gem that's the water going over
a water chime instead of a turn chime, you know, like when you wind it up and it would chime. And I just associate the water with an instrument also, because it says when the trumpet sounds in that, I just thought of that now, actually, the trumpet sounds in the, when he's talking about, discerning tongues and stuff in the 12, 13 and 14 of 1 Corinthians, if the trumpet doesn't make a certain distinction, how will you know what to do? You know? So that water chime, that trumpet is a distinction of water too, because the water is word. So, I don't know, like the very music, you know, the, when they play the instruments, you know, the words, you know, and, or you might not know the words, and then you find out the words later to the song that the instruments are playing, you know? So, I don't know if it's that way in heaven, but, the songs are even written in the book of Revelation, we're supposed to know. So, praise God. He can put the song in your heart, or just, he puts words in your mouth. Come on, guys. You all have tongues. So you got the water in there. Praise God. The water according to the Spirit, too. So praise God.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Go ahead, Pat.
So, this morning, I had, I guess, kind of an epiphany of when I was reading, I was actually listening to the message, one of the messages here. I don't remember which one it was now, but anyway, we were talking, I ended up in Romans 10:5, and it was kind of, matter of fact, I'm just going to read it. Because I actually, it was the rest of the three or four verses down that it kind of hit me a little bit different. It said in Romans 10:5, it said, for Moses writeth that, Moses writeth that the man that doeth the righteousness, which is of the law, shall live thereby. And immediately I thought, the man that doeth the righteousness, which is of the law, shall live thereby. I thought of Jesus. Jesus fulfilled the law, and he lived by it. You know, his life was a revelation of righteousness in the physical sense. But the righteousness which is of faith saith thus, say not in thy heart, who shall ascend in heaven, that is to bring Christ down, or who shall descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up. And the, I guess, epiphany with me was that I used to always think, what in the heck does he mean by that? The righteousness of faith saith not in thy heart, who shall ascend up into heaven, that is, bring Christ down, or who shall descend into abyss, that is, to bring Christ up from the dead. How does that apply to anything? You know, it can't, I mean, it's just, I didn't quite catch the link, I guess. And the Lord kind of put it in different words for me as I was thinking about it or meditating on it or whatever, but In other words, the faith I need, I'm saying those two verses, who shall go to heaven and bring it down, or who shall descend into the abyss and bring it up? In other words, I noticed a mindset in me that somehow was believing that what I needed was somewhere else. It was somewhere else, and I need to seek God to find a way to seek God in such a way to find it and then bring it to me. Bring it from wherever it is and get it over to me. Or wherever I'm at, to get me over to it in order to access it, apply it, or whatever. It was a mindset that was in me that it's somewhere else. And that's the only, I can't explain it any different, but it's not here. I don't have it. It's somewhere else. So I get it. And that's what those two verses, the Lord clarified that to me. In other words, and so the next verse, but what saith it? He said, now again, he said, but the righteousness which is of faith saith thus, say not in thy heart, who shall ascend into heaven? Verse 7, who shall descend into the abyss? In other words, it's somewhere else, it's not here. But verse 8, but what saith it? What saith the scripture regarding faith? The word is nigh thee in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That which I was thinking was somewhere else resides in my heart. So if it resides in my heart, then I don't have to go anywhere or look for anything else in order to access it. I simply need to do what the scripture says in order to bring it out in my heart. Now, I'm going to stop there for just a quick second. I think we even referenced Genesis 1 here in our speaking tonight. But I believe in verse 26 of Genesis 1, on that sixth day, God created and spoke everything into creation and finished his work and rested on the seventh day. So I believe, and then if you look at, what is it? Ephesians 2:10. Verse 8, for by grace have you been saved through faith. Faith, what we're talking about. And that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. Not of works, that no man should glory, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God afore prepared that we should walk in them. So God created me to be able to walk in Christ and accomplish the works that he created in Genesis in the first chapter, that he spoke into existence. And so, how do you, now, I'm not speaking here, when I'm saying this, I'm not speaking as though, okay, boys, I got this thing there. Let me show you how it's done. All I'm saying is I had an epiphany and it starts to reshape thinking and, you know, reexamine, you know, how I was approaching this thing, etc. But in, so how do you access it? How do you apply it if it's in your heart? And I go to chapter 2 of Genesis and I know that I've thought about this and talked about this before, that in verse 7 of chapter 2, God, it shows that God formed man out of the ground, formed Adam out of the elements of the dirt. And that formation was a separate process of what happened in Genesis 1:26. In other words, it was the manifestation of what God had already done. He didn't create Adam by breathing into his nostrils the breath of life. He formed him, formed that body, and then breathed into it the breath of life. And it says, and man became a living soul. This is the part where I get a little sketchy. Not quite. I haven't put the tumblers together here on this, but I believe that life, you know, when you say, well, what is life? I believe the essence of life is awareness, being aware. When we were in heaven, created before the foundation of the earth, when we were in heaven, in still under the authority or the, you know, the premise of Genesis 1:26, we were spoken into existence. Our spirits, I believe, were created. But we were waiting until that time when we could be, when a body could be formed for us. And then at the end of that gestation period of that, period, we were birthed into the earth, and breath was blown into our body and we became a living soul. We were not aware of much at all then. But we were fed and grew, and we became more and more aware of our own existence, or aware of life, aware of everything around us. And we are, and And then obviously at some point in time, and the scripture basically says that we were dead in trespasses and sins. Although everybody knows that we weren't physically dead, we were alive, we were aware, but we weren't aware of Jesus. We weren't aware of Christ. And that in that time, when we made that transition and became aware of Jesus, and we became aware of the knowledge of, this man Jesus hanging on the cross and the babe in the manger and everything. I mean, when we became aware of his person and our ability to connect with him, which he did by his grace, we became aware of him. Now, Genesis 21:26 says that was in us. I believe that awareness that we had that potential to become aware of Jesus even then. But it was a certain time in our life after being born into this earth that we became aware of him. So I believe that this, and obviously this growing period that after we have found Jesus, become aware of him, and then we grow and we eat the word and drink the milk, and we grow and become aware of more and more of the scripture and more of, this life of righteousness, which he is. We become aware of it, and then through our faith and believing, we appropriate it and learn to walk in it and function in it. But this scripture in Romans said that was already in us. How do we appropriate it? We become aware of it. And then we appropriate it. And how do we appropriate? Once we become aware of it, and I'm speaking of in terms of specifics of righteousness or whatever. If it is within our heart and we become aware of it, how do we appropriate it? And we appropriate it by verse 9, but I'll say verse 8 again. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee. The word is nigh thee in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith, which we preach, because if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus as Lord, and shalt believe in thy heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's the pattern. That's the foundational pattern. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, that's becoming aware of that righteousness and believing it, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation, appropriation, living in it, walking in it. So I didn't mean to get into all of that last aspect, but that requires the epiphany that I experienced. In other words, that it's not out there, it's embedded here in my heart. It throws a little bit different light on confession, believing in my heart and confessing, not so that I'm going to bring something that's out there into here, but I'm going to release that which is in me to be able to be set free and to be able to get out, to be able to manifest. Now, I'm not saying anything new to anybody here, but probably everybody's scratching their head saying, well, duh. But for some reason, it clicked in me this morning as I was thinking this over. So, and it was all based upon that concept, that mindset that I was unconsciously resting in, that my solution, the solution is out there instead of in here, I guess. And so that's where I'm going to end it there. But anyway, that's kind of was, you know, what I went through this morning. Anyway, praise the Lord.
Amen. Thank you. Glory be to God. All right. Anybody else got something they'd like to share or would like to comment on? Yeah, Debbie.
Well, I just wanted to say that, Pat, I've had that same, what does that mean with those verses, until just several days ago, I was listening to one of David's audios and he mentioned that. He said, we don't have to go up to heaven to bring Christ down to, so we get what we're asking for, or whatever, or go down and bring him up, you know. You don't have to, like, it's everything you were just saying. And it made it clear to me then. And so I understand how you questioned that, you know, and why you wondered, because I did too. But yeah, it was freeing for me to understand that.
Yeah. He's got that in the real good news. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah, matter of fact, maybe I read that the other day myself.
Yeah. Well, I heard it in an audio. It wasn't real good news. It was just something else. He was talking about faith. And
yeah.
He mentioned that scripture and said it so plainly, just like as Pat just did. So I understood it. I understood about faith, but I said, what is this? What are you saying? What are these words? What do they mean?
The crazy thing about it is I don't know how many times I've heard it and read it. You know, the real good. How many times can you actually hear that? It was the awareness that I wasn't thinking, that I was, that's the way I was thinking, but I didn't think I was thinking that way. It just like dawned on me all of a sudden, wait a minute, you're thinking it's out there somewhere, you know, but yet I wasn't aware that I was thinking about it. I guess that's kind of the thing that hit me. It's like a mindset that you're just moving in or functioning in. And anyway, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
All right. This just fell off somewhere. He said, this is on an index card. I must have put it printed down there some time ago. He said, there's only one prayer that's answered. It's not prayer that is answered, but the prayer of faith. It is the prayer of faith that shall save the sick. Believing prayer is not much noise. Believing prayer may not be any noise at all. Believing prayer is a committing, an intelligent committing of yourself to God, and your mind is stayed in God, and your heart is stayed in God, and you're walking in God. You are ready to die rather than go to anyone but God. That is the real believing prayer. That is the continuous prayer. That is prevailing prayer, blessed be God. That sounds like John Lake. And it's true. It's true. I remember what he said. And don't take this as something that we adhere to. If you don't have faith in God, you know, go to the doctor. But he said this. He said, what if you were out on the street as a new Christian and you'd been taught about healing, that he heals, and you saw Jesus going into a doctor's office? What would you think? Yeah, go ahead, Ben.
I would think he's off to go heal all those sick people that's in the doctor's office.
That's right. No, well, that may be what you think, but if you saw him going there, you knew what I meant. That's a good way to turn it around, brother. Thank you. That's a good way to turn it around. But if we saw Jesus going into an office for an appointment, everything he said would be a lie, wouldn't it? So that's the way he does. He does us. He don't want to see us going in there. He can't get the glory when we go. Go ahead, Missy.
Well, the first thing that I thought of was, well, Jesus was never sick. What would he be going into a doctor's office for? He doesn't need a doctor.
Yeah, but Lake was saying that as a kind of prove a point. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. He wouldn't need to go in. I remember the time. This is always stuck in my mind. But this guy came in, walked in with a walker or a couple of crutches, and he told Lake, he said, I'm a Catholic. I don't believe much in the Bible. I don't believe much that God can heal. He said, what can you do for me? He said, I ain't got no faith. He said, what can you do for me? Lake just laughed. He got up out of his chair from behind his desk, walked over to him, and put his hand on him, and just went there and talked with him for a few minutes. He said, just enough time for the power of God to go through him and heal him. And he sat there and had a real good conversation with the guy. And finally the guy said, well, I got to go. And he just turned around and walked out. He got down at the end of the hall, and Lake said, what do you want me to do with these? You forgot these. He said, all to hell with them. And Lake said, that's a good place for them. The guy was completely healed from the power of God going from him into him. That's the kind of that's the way we should walk. That's the way we should walk. Now he spent a lot of time praying in tongues, Lake did, and reading the word. Yeah, Pat.
I didn't mean to interrupt you, I just was getting in line, you know. But You brought up that example, which was up to say was another, excuse me, I guess epiphany. And that is, I've been listening to a series, from Curry Blake, who took over, I guess, the John G. Lake ministry.
Yeah. Norm Will.
And he has a very interesting, unique testimony as well.
Yeah.
But one of the things that he mentions in there is that it is not the receivers. I guess you have to listen to the whole thing, but the general foundational thought of it is that it is not the receivers, the person being healed. It is not their primary responsibility to be healed. It is the healer or the person that is doing, pronouncing, commanding the healing. They have the primary responsibility for the healing. Now, when I say that's the foundational element of the process, doesn't mean that that's the only thing that applies to it, but it means that that's where you start with that. And then he gave many examples in the scripture. You know, the most blatant that I can think of is that when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, Lazarus didn't have anything to say. He couldn't agree. He couldn't do anything. He was dead. And it was by the faith of Jesus that Lazarus raised from the dead. And then he goes on to explain that. He explains the scripture. You know, I know that you hear me, Father, I'm praying this so that others out there know what I'm doing or whatever. They can be locked in to understand what I'm doing. But anyway, so Curry believes, and that was kind of a witness there, and it's one of those truths related to healing, but it was demonstrated there by that story that you told. When that guy said, I don't believe, I believe, you know, I'm a Catholic and such and such, such and such, and I don't believe in healing and whatever. Well, it obviously wasn't his faith that produced that healing in him. It was Lake's faith. And so, obviously I haven't, that's another one of those things that jogged some things within me, etc. Because there's ramifications on that. You know, Jesus said that, or the scripture said that when he went into, you know, a prophet is not without honor except in his own house or in his own hometown or own environment, his own family or whatever it would be. Those those around him were familiar with him. And so when he went into his hometown to heal the sick, it said, you know, he could do there no mighty works, because of their unbelief. Yet, and then it says, but only heal a few sick folk. And if you think about it, you know, in 90% of the churches, if somebody came in and said, well, I couldn't do anything. I could only heal a few people. You know, that would be monumental that, you know, even a few people were healed. But I always took that as meaning that Jesus was bound somehow from.
Well, let me interrupt you just a minute. What happened was everybody that came to him for healing, God healed. That's what you have to remember.
Correct.
The rest of them didn't come to him for healing, so they didn't get healed. That's the big thing that, you know, and as far as, I know Courage teachings well. I went to a bunch of his DHT way back when. And matter of fact, I had him up to Arkansas a few times myself and went through that whole thing, and I was part of his group back in the early 2000s. Was the head of the Arkansas organization for a little bit. But he's got one of he's got more healings in his DHT than anybody else has ever had, as far as we know right now in America. Late, they said, had somewhere around, I believe it was 100,000 healings or something like that. Curry right now, with his organization, has over 1 million of certified healings. What he's done, he's taken the message of healing and teaching other people to heal. And Lake did this, and this is what Curry does. Lake did this. He said, you come here for 30 days and you'll get healed. And they would pray for him, teach him a little bit, pray for him, teach him a little bit every day until they got healed. One time there was a guy that went on his 28th day and he didn't show up. Lake called him. And he told him, is that the kind of guy you are? You won't keep your promises? You said you was going to be here for 30 days and you quit on the 28th day? He said, wait a minute. I was healed last night. I got healed last night. Lake said, oh, okay, then you're fine. But yeah, he teaches healing to other people. He said this, Curry did. Curry said that he had a daughter that died because he couldn't get anybody to pray for his daughter when she went into a coma. And he decided right then, I'm going to be the guy that they call the next time that they won't have to bury their daughter. And he did, with a dogged determination. He did, and he went and he found, just a little short history, I ain't going to take long. He went and found Wilfred Wright, who was John G. Lake's son-in-law, and his wife, who was his daughter. And they had all of Lake's material, and there was a prophecy back in the, I don't know when, back in the 20s, I think, about this guy that was going to come along and take over John G. Lake Ministries, and Curry fit that bill. And there were some unusual circumstances, and if you ever read it, Curry stuff, you'll understand it. But that's all he teaches. He teaches mostly just healing and the faith and all of that. He does teach holiness and that kind of stuff too. But his primary message is healing and getting people delivered and healed, and very, very successful. And he's a good guy. And Lord pulled me out of there back in 2005 or somewhere along in there, four or five told me to quit that. He had something else for me to do. So I said, okay. So I quit his thing and started listening to David. Here I am. But anyway, he's a good guy. He's a good guy. And one of the things he, I always liked about Curry, he's always positive about he could heal anybody. They just listened to him for a little bit. And he said this. He said, the only hindrance to healing is that you believe that there is a hindrance. That's what he says. And I believe it. All right, we're out of time. That doesn't mean to just run over there and start listening to everything he's got. Now, you can if you want to, but got the same stuff here, mostly. All right, Lord, we just thank you for all these good preachers out there that are giving out the gospel and healing folks and doing the gifts. And we praise you for that, Father, because we know shortly that it's going to be this fellowship also is going to intercede and be able to go out and do the things that we're supposed to do. And I thank you for it, Father. Thank you, Lord, for tonight being led by you. And I thank you, Lord, for all that we've done tonight, or that you've done in us, in Jesus' name. All right. Good night, y'all.